All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're taking a deep dive into an area that I think is particularly interesting, especially for those of you who are listening who are thinking about going into business law. We're going to be talking about non-competes in Texas.
Absolutely.
And we're going to be specifically looking at the case of Unitel Corp v. Decker, a foundational case from 1987.
That's right. This is really a key case. It sort of lays the foundation for how Texas courts think about these non-compete agreements.
Yeah, and it comes at a time when, I mean, you know, as you all know who are listening to this, this is the early days, you know, mid-80s, of cell phones.
Right. Think of it as a brand new industry in Texas. Lots of competition, lots of investment going on and building it up.
Right, exactly. So the you know, there's a lot of investment in the employees and building up customer lists and all that kind of stuff. And so when those employees decide to go elsewhere, that's when these non-competes become really interesting.
Exactly. And this case really highlights that. You've got a company, Unitel, selling cellular car phones and airtime in Houston. A lot of new technology, new training, new customer relationships that they're trying to build.
Right. And they don't want, obviously, the people that they train to immediately go work for the competition.
Exactly.
And use all that. And so the reason we're doing this is to kind of give you some real practical application to, you know, the stuff that you're learning in law school.
Right. To understand the legal principles.
Exactly. The legal principles behind this, in this case, non-competes. So let's dive right in. So the story is about Unitel. They've got these sales representatives, Barron, Pinchback, and Wells, and they all sign contracts.
Right. And those contracts have a non-compete clause in them. 1 year, a 25-mile radius around Harris County.
Right. So they're not allowed to work for competitors for a year in that area. And of course, what happens, what always seems to happen in these cases is in 1986, they leave Unitel.
All three of them.
All three of them. And they go to work for companies owned by two brothers, Richard and Randy Decker. Richard owns Coastal Cellular Company, and Randy owns Executive Car Phones.
So now you've got direct competitors.
Yeah.
And Unitel's claim is that these employees are using their training, their customer leads, to go after customers in the same market.
Right.
And so they go to court seeking a temporary injunction. Now, a temporary injunction is a court order to stop someone from doing something while the case is pending.
Right.
And they want to stop them from working for the Deckers.
But here's the catch. The trial court denies that request.
Right. They say no to the temporary injunction,
yeah,
which is what brings us to the appeal.
To the appeal. Okay, so let's back up a little bit and just so we can kind of set the stage. What exactly was Unitel's business?
So they were in the business of selling and servicing cellular car phones.
Okay.
And remember, this is early technology.
Yeah, this is cutting edge.
Yeah. So it involved not just handing over a device, but also teaching them how to use this new Houston cellular telephone system.
Right.
And then selling the airtime. So it was a big deal. A lot of training involved.
Right. And who were these employees? Barron, Pinchback, and Wells. What did they do for Unitel?
So they were all sales representatives for Unitel.
Okay.
And they were the ones out there signing up those customers, building those relationships, getting that training.
Uh-huh.
And as we mentioned, as part of their agreement, they had that 1 year, 25-mile non-compete clause,
yeah,
around Harris County.
Okay. And so then take us through their departure. Where did they go? What did they do?
So all three of them leave in 1986.
Okay.
And they end up at competing cellular phone companies.
Right.
Two of them, Barron and Pinchback, go to work for Richard Decker at Coastal Cellular. And Wells goes to work for Randy Decker at Executive Car Phones.
So they're right back in the market.
Right back in the market.
The Unitel's in.
Exactly. Doing the same thing.
Using all that knowledge. So what's Unitel's argument at that point?
So Unitel's argument is that these guys are taking all their trade secrets, their customer lists, their knowledge of the market, and they're using it to directly compete against Unitel.
Right.
They're stealing their customers.
Right.
And the trial court initially denies their request for the temporary injunction.
Right.
So they appeal that decision, which is how we get to this landmark case.
Okay, so now let's get to the real meat of the matter.
Right.
What's the central issue from a legal perspective?
So the legal question here is about the enforceability of non-compete agreements in Texas.
Okay.
And it's not a simple yes or no answer.
Right.
Texas has very specific rules. They want to balance the interest of the employer with the employee's right to earn a living.
Right.
and the public interest.
Right. It's not just as simple as, well, they signed a contract, so they have to abide by it.
Right.
There's more to it than that.
Exactly. And to figure out whether these non-competes were enforceable, the court used a four-part test.
Okay, a four-part test. Let's break that down, because this is going to be really important, I think, for you listening to understand how these cases work. So what's the first part of this test?
The first part is whether the employer has a legitimate business interest that they're trying to protect.
Okay.
And not just any interest, but a specific interest that relates to their business.
Okay, so like in Unitel's case, what would that be?
In this case, the court said that Unitel's specialized training that they gave to these employees, including the specific sales techniques and their customer leads, qualified as a protectable interest.
Okay, so that training, that's different than just sort of general sales training or something like that.
Right. This was specialized training specific to Unitel's business, their products, their market.
Okay. All right, so that's the first part, legitimate interest. What about, what's the second part of the test?
The second part is that the agreement must not be oppressive to the employee. Mm. Now, that means the non-compete can't unfairly limit their ability to earn a living.
Okay.
Right. It can't be so restrictive that they can't find work.
Okay. And so in this case, did the employees argue that this non-compete was too restrictive?
Well, they certainly could have. However, the court looked at the fact that they were sales professionals with general skills, and they could work outside the 25-mile radius.
Okay.
Or in different industries. So it wasn't a complete ban on their ability to work.
Right.
It was just a limited restriction.
Okay. All right. So that's the second part. So not oppressive
right.
to the employee. Okay. What's the third part of the test?
The third part is whether the non-compete is injurious to the public interest.
Okay.
Now, what that means is, does it hurt the public? Does it stifle competition?
Okay.
You know, does it create a monopoly?
Right.
And in this case, the court said, no, it doesn't.
Okay.
Because it was a limited restriction and there were other competitors in the cellular phone market.
So basically, you know, it's sort of preventing them from using the specific information that they got from Unitel to compete against Unitel. But it's not like shutting down the entire cell phone market.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's the third part, public interest. So we've got legitimate interest. We've got not oppressive to the employee. We've got public interest. And what's the fourth one?
The fourth and final part is what we call consideration.
Okay.
And this is a basic contract law principle.
Yeah.
The employee has to receive something of value in exchange for agreeing to the non-compete.
Okay.
They have to get something out of it.
Okay. And so in this case, what did they get?
Well, the court said that the specialized training that Unitel provided to these employees was enough consideration.
So the training itself was the consideration.
Yes. Unitel invested in their employees by giving them valuable skills and knowledge.
Okay.
And in return, the employees agreed not to compete for a limited time.
Okay. So the training wasn't just, you know, like, here's how to answer the phone. This is really specialized stuff.
It was valuable, specific training.
Okay. So now, so that's the four-part test. And obviously Unitel, you know, had this lawsuit, not just against the employees, but also against the Decker brothers.
That's right. They also sued Richard and Randy Decker for something called wrongful interference.
Okay. And that's a different claim.
Yes.
Than just the breach of contract claim.
Exactly. Wrongful interference means that the Deckers interfered with Unitel's contracts with their employees.
Okay.
And they interfered with their business relationships.
And so is that successful?
Well, it depends. The court reached different conclusions for the two brothers.
Oh, okay.
In Richard's case, the court found evidence that he had actively induced the employees to breach their contracts.
Okay.
Like maybe he promised them bonuses or something like that.
Right.
To leave Unitel.
So he went out of his way to...
Right.
To try to poach these employees.
Exactly. He knew about the non-competes and he tried to get around them. Now with Randy, the court didn't find enough evidence
okay.
to support that claim.
Okay. So what's the takeaway there for, you know, for our listeners who are thinking about going into, you know, business law and potentially representing companies or, you know, individuals in this kind of situation? What's the key takeaway there about the wrongful interference?
I think the key takeaway is that merely hiring someone who has a non-compete is not enough.
Okay.
You have to show that the new employer did something to encourage them to break that contract.
Okay. So just the fact that they, you know, signed up with the Decker brothers doesn't mean that they committed wrongful interference.
Exactly.
Okay. So So let's go back to the temporary injunction issue, because obviously, you know, Unitel was trying to get that and the trial court said no, but the appellate court, you know, reversed that. So what's the key to, you know, what's the legal standard there for getting a temporary injunction?
So to get a temporary injunction, the company has to show that they're going to suffer probable injury if the injunction isn't granted.
Okay.
In other words, they're going to be harmed if the other party is allowed to keep doing what they're doing.
Right.
And that harm can't be easily fixed later with just money.
Right. Hmm. Okay. And so in this case, what did Unitel have to show?
Unitel had to show that they were likely to lose customers, lose business, lose their competitive edge if these employees were allowed to keep working for the Deckers.
Right.
And the appeals court said they did show that.
Okay.
They presented enough evidence.
Okay. And that's what's called prima facie proof.
Right. Prima facie proof basically means at first glance.
Okay.
So at first glance, it looks like Unitel is going to be harmed.
Right.
And that was enough to justify the temporary injunction.
Okay. So that's why the appellate court reversed the trial court. All right. So this was obviously a very significant case. You know, we've kind of walked through the facts and the legal arguments and the holdings. What are some of the key takeaways, especially for our listeners who are, you know, in law school and thinking about, you know, this area of law?
I think there are several key takeaways here. First of all, this case shows that Texas courts are willing to enforce non-competes to protect legitimate business interests.
Okay.
Like specialized training and customer relationships.
Okay.
But the non-compete has to be reasonable.
Okay.
It can't be overly broad or oppressive.
Okay.
And it has to be supported by consideration.
Okay.
The employee has to get something in return.
Right. And we talked about that. That's the training.
Right.
The specialized training.
Exactly. The second takeaway is about temporary injunctions.
Okay.
The court made it clear that if an employee breaches a valid non-compete, that's strong evidence of probable injury to the employer.
Okay.
So it's easier for them to get a temporary injunction.
Okay. So the bar is a little bit lower in terms of proving that they're going to be harmed.
Right.
Okay. And then finally, we talked about the wrongful interference issue. And what was the takeaway there?
The takeaway there is that just hiring someone with a non-compete isn't enough.
Okay.
You have to actively induce them to break that contract.
Okay. So don't go out of your way to poach employees who have non-competes.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, so we've gone through, you know, Unitel v. Decker in quite some detail. I think this is a great example of how, you know, a case that's this old can still be incredibly relevant.
Absolutely.
To what's happening today. You know, the core issue is really the same. It's about balancing those competing interests, the employer's interest, the employee's interest, and the public interest. So as you're thinking about these issues, as you're studying law and potentially going into this field, you know, think about how those things are gonna, how that balance is gonna continue to evolve. Mm. You know, with technology changing as rapidly as it is, with you know, employees moving around so much more.
Right.
You know, how is that going to affect this whole area of law?
Exactly. I think that's a great question to keep in mind.
So keep that question in mind as you move forward with your careers. And with that, I think we're going to wrap up this episode of The Deep Dive. Thanks for listening.